Father, we stand amazed at thy love. We discover from thy word that because of our sins, we rightly ought to go to hell. We ought to be judged for our sins. We ought to be under thy wrath forever and ever. And because thou art altogether holy, and because sin against thee is so terrible, it is such an act of rebellion, thy perfect justice demands this kind of punishment. It's hard for us to see this, but we know that thou art perfect in all of thine actions. In all that thou doest, thou art absolutely holy. And then we discover that in the Lord Jesus Christ there is an escape from that, and we stand amazed at thy love. How is it possible that thou couldst love those who would trust in thee, that thou wouldst draw to thyself, that thou wouldst love them so much that thou thyself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ would take upon our sins, upon himself our sins, and endure the wrath of God? Oh, Father, such love. We praise thee. We magnify thy name. Father, we pray that as we read about hell and damnation, while we recoil at this, we don't want to hear about it, yet we pray that many may hear and that they might recognize the truth of this and they might repent of their sins and cry to thee for mercy. Bless us now as we continue our study. In Jesus' name, amen. In these last several studies, God has brought us face to face with hell, with eternal damnation. And it's not pleasant, is it? It's just not a bit pleasant. I don't know what your experience has been, but I'll tell you this, in my life, whenever something is very unpleasant, I just don't like to think about it. I don't like to, if I know a letter is coming to me and I know it's going to be an unpleasant letter, maybe from a bill collector if I got behind on paying my bills and I just wasn't able to pay it immediately, it's the last letter I want to open. Or perhaps it has to do with something else that is unpleasant. We just don't like to face unpleasant things. We'd like to simply kind of put it over there on the side and not think about it. And so it is not at all uncommon that we would, and contrary to what we would expect when mankind doesn't want to face the reality of hell. It is a subject that is not at all pleasant to contemplate. But we're going to discover as we look at this verse 50 that it is a subject that we must contemplate. We must have it we must be face to face with it. Fact is, in these last studies, as we've been going through these closing verses of Mark 9, Jesus has brought us in front of the whole question of hell and eternal damnation. But marvelously, of course, God doesn't stop there. That isn't the end of the story. God gives us a way of escape. And that is what is so wonderful about the gospel of salvation. Well, now, in verse 50, we're looking here, and we remember in our last study, we discovered the word salt had altogether to do with judgment. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Now, what does that mean? And then it goes on and says, have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. These certainly seem to be very odd statements if salt has to do with judgment, but let's look at it for just a little bit. You see, in the Bible, the fact of... Let me put it this way. The fact that God has disclosed to us that there is eternal damnation coming to the unsaved is a very wonderful and healthy piece of information. No, it's not wonderful that the unsaved are going to hell. That is not wonderful. That's awful. That's ominous. That's terrible. That's horrible. But the fact that God has disclosed this piece of information to us, that we can be grateful to God for. Suppose Suppose that in the Bible, God had never talked about hell and damnation. He had never really given us any clue as to what awaits the unsaved of the world. Suppose you took everything out of the Bible that dealt with the wrath of God or the judgment of God as it was poured out on the nations of old, or as it is spoken of in connection with the hereafter, where God speaks of it as a lake of fire, or as a place where the fire shall never be quenched, or where the worm dieth not, and so on. Suppose all of those phrases were taken out of the Bible. Now, what we would have left in the Bible then is the graciousness of God, the love of God, that He came to save us, that He His soul was an offering for sin, but we would have no understanding of what that offering really had to do with. We wouldn't really know what He saved us from. All we know is that somehow that sin puts us in trouble with God, but we would have no idea about the character of the trouble. And yet the command would come, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you can see that we would have a very odd kind of a gospel. Why do we want to be saved? Why is it important that we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ? What is there to fear? Well, yes, there's some good things about becoming a Christian. Yes, it would be a good thing to get right with God, but I'm enjoying this world so much, and certainly if I have to become right with God and it means I have to give up this pleasure and that pleasure, if it means that I can't do my thing, do what I want to do, well, what's in it for me to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ? Sure, I'd like to have Him as my friend. I'd like to identify with the whole cause of Christ. It all sounds good and noble, and certainly He was a fine man, and it was very fine that He thought about me, and that He loves me, and that God loves me. I'm so grateful for all of this, but really, if it means that I have to turn away from the pleasures of this world, from doing my thing, I'm just not that interested. I'll identify, I'll pay lip service to all of this, but insofar as really hanging my life on Christ, no, I can't really see any importance for that at all. Now, unfortunately, that is about the character of the gospel that is going forth from many people's lips. There is very, very little statement of hell and damnation. There is very little, a very small amount of the gospel that is going forth deals at all with divine retribution, that God will pour out His wrath upon the wicked. But the Bible has a lot to say about it. A lot of people read the Old Testament and they say, well, the Old Testament, that was full of killing, that was full of death. God brought His wrath on the nation in Noah's day and destroyed them all together. Then He brought His wrath on the Egyptians and killed all the firstborn. And God brought His wrath on the hosts of the Egyptians as they were drowned in the Red Sea, right to the last man. And He brought His wrath against Jericho. And the men and the women and the children and the babies, they were all killed, and even the animals were killed. And God brought His wrath against Sodom and Gomorrah, and those cities were altogether wiped out. And God brought His wrath against Israel as He brought the Assyrians and the Babylonians against them. All we see in the Old Testament is death, 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 and killing, and all kinds of horrible things. But when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we come to the New Testament, now Jesus speaks of love. He doesn't talk about hell. He doesn't talk about eternal damnation at all. He loves us, and that's the kind of gospel, that's the kind of Bible I want to read. Well, we're discovering in Mark 9 that it isn't so. In verse after verse, Christ is emphasizing eternal damnation. And if you go through the Gospels and read very carefully, you will find that again and again He speaks about eternal damnation. He does it in verse after verse in Matthew 13 and in Matthew 25, and as well as in Mark 9 here and other places. The whole truth of eternal damnation is very clearly displayed both on the pages of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the fact that God discloses this judgment to us is good. Salt is good. Can you see why it is good? Can you begin to see this? If God did not disclose this to us, then we would not know why we so desperately need salvation. Now, don't start with this idea now, I'm not going to get scared into salvation. That's not the kind of salvation plan that I want, just because I'm frightened of hell, I'm going to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now we have to be careful. We don't want to become more holy than God. God is the one that tells us to fear eternal damnation. We fear God. Why do we fear God? We are in terror of God because He is the one that's going to bring His wrath against us. And we better have a holy fear of God, a holy terror of God if we are unsaved, because God means what He says. And isn't it marvelous that God has disclosed this to us? Salt is good. If He had not disclosed this to us, we wouldn't see our need of salvation. But now we begin to see God means what He says. He's going to bring eternal damnation, and we better get with it. We better start crying out to God, where is a way of escape? How can I get out of this terrible situation in which I am? This is God's program of bringing the gospel. God wants us to know about hell and damnation. God wants us to have a holy fright, if you will. God wants us to be in terror of what is coming. Otherwise, we don't really catch on to the fact how desperately we need salvation. Because you see, in all the other blessings that God gives us, He bestows so many blessings upon us that we might think that, well, God is a good God and He loves us and somehow everything is going to come out all right. But only because we know that there is hell and damnation, that God's justice demands that we go to hell for our sins, do we recognize that these other blessings are not going to be with us throughout eternity, these blessings of the warm sunshine and good health and family love and all these things that are a blessing of God to all mankind. God tells us about eternal damnation in no uncertain terms, and it is good that we know about it. It is imperative that we know about it. Now, in the second phrase here it says, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? You see, if we have a gospel message that does not bring the message of eternal damnation as an integral part of the gospel message, then it is not going to present an offering that is seasoned with salt. It is not going to bring an offering that is going to be sufficient for salvation. We are presenting a kind of offering that will not bring salvation. You remember, and I've alluded to this before, and I'll do it again and again. When Jonah came to the Ninevites, he didn't come to them, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. All is well with you, but now I want to tell you about the Lord Jesus, and you no longer will be miserable when you identify with Him. He will take whatever remaining misery away from you. No, He didn't come that way at all. He came to Nineveh and He said, you're under the judgment of God because of your sins. In 40 days, God is going to destroy you if you don't repent. That was the message that was brought by Jonah. And it did bring the desired reaction. They did repent and sit in sackcloth and ashes and cry out to God. And God indeed did spare them. Salvation did come to them. Don't you ever think for a moment that we can overemphasize hell and damnation. It is an absolutely integral part of the gospel message. And if the gospel message does not carry with it the message of hell and damnation, it is not the gospel message. It is salt that has lost its saltness. And it can no longer season. It no longer is the gospel that can offer salvation. It is no longer a gospel that is indicating that Christ has borne the wrath of God for our sins. You recall in Ezekiel chapter 18 and in Ezekiel chapter 33, and let me read just a few verses from Ezekiel 33. God warns there in verse 7, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." Now this is ominous language. Anyone who believes that he is a child of God and therefore a witness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and particularly those who believe they are called to be a pastor or a teacher, we are watchmen over the house of Israel. And we are to warn that the sword is coming. What sword is coming against the wicked? It is the sword of everlasting damnation. That is coming. And if we do not warn the wicked about this, God is saying, then they will die in their iniquity, but their blood will be required at our hand. In other words, we will endure the condemnation that they endure. We will stand guilty of their condemnation as well as our own. Now you immediately, and of course if we have been faithfully bringing the fact that there is eternal damnation as we disclose the gospel message to the wicked, then even though they do not respond, and indeed some will, but many won't, even though they do not respond to that gospel, while they still will be subject to hell, we, however, will have indicated that we have been faithful to the Word of God as watchmen of the Lord, and we will be included amongst those who have been saved. Putting it in another way, what Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 7, 8, and 9 is teaching is this, that if we are a true believer, we automatically will want to bring the true gospel. We will want to disclose the whole counsel of God. Remember what the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter, where is it? In Acts chapter 20, he said let me find that verse a minute, because it is pertinent to this. In Acts chapter 20, verse 26, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." See his language? It's taken right out of Ezekiel 33. "I am pure from the blood of all, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And what is the whole counsel of God? That we not only bring the love of God that can be known by those who will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that, of course, is an integral and important and a part of the gospel that we must never fail to bring as part of the gospel. It is the second half of the gospel. But the other part of the gospel message is that mankind is under eternal damnation. And if we do not bring that whole counsel of God, if we are just kind of passing over and superficially dealing very lightly with the matter of eternal damnation, then we have to ask the question, are we bringing the whole counsel of God? And if we're not bringing the whole counsel of God, then the next question we must ask of ourselves, well, then am I really saved? Am I really someone who is a faithful ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or could it be that at Judgment Day I too will wake up and discover that I still have my sins as well as coming under condemnation because I have not been faithful in bringing the whole counsel of God? Oh, dear pastor, oh, beloved teacher, whoever you are, take this very, very seriously. God is warning us that we must make sure that we bring the whole counsel of God. And even though brickbats might be thrown at us, and even though there will be those in the congregation who will tell us, I wish you would quit talking about hell, we must talk about hell. We must talk about eternal damnation. Because that is what God tells us we must talk about. Salt is good, and if it has lost its saltness, then there is nothing to season any longer. There is no sacrifice any longer that is going to save men from their sins. We have an empty gospel. We have a gospel that is the gospel of men rather than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, God declares, let me read that verse because it really is very pertinent to this particular discussion. I have read this so frequently, and I've always been incorrect in what God is saying here. It says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now, your speech be always with grace. Well, the grace of God is the love of God. The magnificent love of God that where we declare that Christ went to the cross to pay for the sins who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that in Christ we can escape this terrible eternal damnation that is coming upon us, and that must always be an integral part of the gospel message, of the witnessing that we are bringing. But notice the next phrase, seasoned with salt. That is, it must also contain the fact that as we present the gospel message that there is eternal damnation, there is God's divine retribution upon all who remain unsaved. And this is the reason that we so desperately need salvation. And then we know how we are to answer every man. Then we're getting right at the heart of the question. Then we're being altogether honest with them. It is not a happy message. This first half is not a happy message. It's not nice to tell someone that they're right on the precipice of hell, that hell is clutching at them and is going to pull them down into the fires of hell if they don't do something about it and do it very quickly. That isn't a happy thought. But nevertheless, it is coming clean. It is being absolutely honest with our fellow man that this is the such situation. If they die tonight without Christ, then they are going to spend eternity under eternal damnation, and there is no escape. But right on the heels of this, we can say, but you can know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can know how you can escape this awful judgment that we all so rightly deserve, and you can escape it by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. This is the wonderful grace of God. This is the magnificent love of God. This is the other part of the gospel message that makes it so important to all of mankind. Can you see what God is asking us to do, what He is asking us to believe? And when He says here, have salt in yourselves, have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another, God is simply underscoring this just a little bit further. We are to recognize that the subject of Judgment Day, of eternal damnation, is a very important part of our life, and we want to make sure that we have escaped that judgment through the Lord Jesus Christ, that judgment, that salt has already been, that we've already been salted with that salt. We've been judged by that judgment because Christ has been our substitute We were in him. We were all together identified with him when he went to the cross on our behalf. And therefore, we can have peace one with another. We are at peace with God, and we are at peace with our fellow man. We are no longer under the enmity of God. But we've come to the end of our time. The Lord willing, in our next study, we'll go on and begin with chapter 10 and see what God is going to bring to our attention there. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you.